Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies. In this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing Dr. Mark Halpern. He's a chiropractor, but so much more than that. I had the benefit of being able to join his Learn Coherent 6-week course, and I learned a ton of things. One of the biggest things that drew me to Dr. Mark is that he and I both suffer from anxiety. And, you know, for years and years, I thought anxiety was either a chemical imbalance, something going on in my gut, but I really didn't put it all together that it was more my thoughts and how I reacted to my environment until recently. Then Dr. Mark started to bring things even more full circle for me. And he's going to talk about it here in this podcast. But he's talking about how even what we sense, what we feel, like even down to the clothes we feel, and how those sorts of things have an impact on our mood and how we feel. So fascinating. He even goes into digestive coherence, which I find absolutely fascinating. So before I get going and spoil it for you, I really want you to sit down, grab a cup of tea, and dive into the concept of coherence, getting your brain to match with your thoughts, your intentions, your goals, what you want in life. And let's see what kind of things you can come up with from this podcast alone. And I highly, highly recommend considering joining Dr. Mark's group, Learn Coherence. It has been a game changer for myself and my husband. Okay, folks, let's jump into the podcast. All right. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I have Dr. Mark Halpern on. We've been chatting before recording, and boy, we've got a lot of things in common, and I'm looking forward to this podcast with you guys. Really, today, we're going to be talking about coherence. And if you don't know what it is, don't worry. You'll know by the end of this. We're going to be talking so much about how you can create your life by design and why so many of us just kind of live in this state of not getting what we want, not going to where we want, because we just haven't got that coherence down. So today we're going to talk about how we can use coherence to optimize our mental health and our emotional well-being. So Dr. Mark, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
Well, we talked a little bit before we jumped on about how I was reading your book and going, he gets me, this anxiety component of going into the office and just literally my whole body shaking going into the office. And it's not that I don't love seeing my patients. My body had just connected that with a trauma. And then I go in with the patients, I'm good. I come back out in between patients on breaks and it just falls apart. And then I go home and go, what am I doing this for? But I keep going back because I love seeing the patients. So I want to talk and start talking about anxiety and how that brought you to learning about coherence and how anxiety is related to incoherence.
Sure. So my story starts off really when I was a teenager. As a kid, I think I grew up in a very loving household. I had friends. There was nothing in me that you would have said, hey, this is a kid that's developing some, you know, mental health issues or some anxiety problems. But as I turned 13 and 14 and, you know, sort of the hormones kicked in and insecurities being a teenager and going through grade 7, 8, 9, those type of years, I started developing, I would say, poor thinking habits. And what with anxiety, what happens is as you start thinking these negative habits, it creates different chemicals in the brain and those chemicals will produce anxiety. And then when you feel more anxiety, you feel more of those thoughts coming and then the thoughts produce more chemicals and the cycle just starts. And for me, what I ended up doing was just developing these really bad neurological patterns as a teenager through all of these typical insecurities, I think, that most teenagers have. And so it was my approach. By the time I was 18 or 19, you know, I've always been sort of a spiritual person, but also a very scientific person. And so that really led me to say, I am going to approach anxiety from every aspect, whether it was the Eastern-based, the Western-based. I just knew that I was always anxious and there must be something out there that would help. And so I call it my never-ending search for answers, because by the time I was about 19, I started searching. And I went to, you know, psychotherapists, and I tried medication and did cognitive behavioral therapy. I did energy work and homeopaths and naturopaths and quantum energy and meditation and breath work. You name it, I tried it. And to some degree, I had some success, and then other things, not so much. And what I found, it was this process of you'd feel hopeful because you found this thing that might help you. And then you'd be told it would take a month or 2 months or 6 months or a year, and you'd give it time. And then inevitably I would feel disappointed. Well, this didn't really lead me to where I thought it was going to lead me. And I'm going to keep my search going, a new book, a new course, a new therapist, a new something. And this really went on for years, decades, really, into my 30s and even into my 40s, until things started to more fit into place. And, you know, for me, I started finding tools like HeartMath, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and meditation, and some of, you know, my mentors, Dr. Bruce Lipton and Dr. Joe Dispenza, and some of these real gurus in the field. Finally, things started to make sense, and I started to put some things together. However, nothing really fully came together until, of all things, the pandemic. Because when the pandemic hit, it was March of 2020. We were just about to go back into our office because we had had a renovation. And literally the day we went back, the government shut us down and said, you have to go home for 3 months, essentially, although we had no idea how much time it was. And knowing my background of dealing with anxiety all the time, I thought, this is not going to be good for me. So I'm going to do something to make this a positive. And so that's when I started writing. I would get up every day, and literally what I decided was I was going to go through every book, every course, every therapist, everything that I'd ever learned about anxiety, and just review it and see really what made sense. All the books that I had folded over the little piece of the page to say, I'm going to come back to it. Well, this was the time I was getting back to it, sometimes years later. And so eventually I went through and I just started writing, and that's how the book Coherence Revolution started. And because I had been trained as a coherence or a HeartMath practitioner, and I learned how to teach this breath work, I thought, you know what, not only can I write this book, but I'm going to design a course so that I can teach people how to do some of this, how to create a process for themselves, how to create a life that is worth living and really inspired. And that's how the Coherence Revolution 6-week online course came about. And so we've been testing it, and the book came out about 6 months ago, and we did the beta test of the group last summer, and we just started changing people's lives, and it's been really a remarkable process. So, you know, now we're just launching the course, and we're going to offer it every month. And the idea is for me to hopefully save people a lot of frustration, time, and money, so that they're not going through all the trials and tribulations that I did.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very important point that you bring about, like, people, especially when you have anxiety, because it's all consuming, you know, much like some other chronic conditions. But in this case, it does impede sometimes your ability to live life to the fullest and to interact as you would like to. And I find that a lot of people, including myself, did spend thousands, if not, you know, tens of thousands on different courses, programs, counselors, whatever it may be. And yeah, you don't get what you're hoping for it till you fully commit to the fact that, wait a minute, everything I have comes from within. It's not, you know, I'm not searching for the amazing book, the theory, the protocol. It's more everything that comes within. And your book, you know, it has great, let's say, components of every single thing that you want to be thinking about and looking at in terms of helping yourself to gain the coherence. Now, one of the first things you started to mention in the book that I absolutely loved was talking about music and emotion. And we talked a little bit about the Grateful Dead and our connections to that, mine with Colorado and yours, you know, with following the dead. I was a little too young to be able to do that. They were gone by the time I was old enough to ask my parents to go sell some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches somewhere, but that happened. So tell us a little bit about music and emotion and how you use their music to help you elicit certain emotions. Cause I think a lot of people have forgot about how that really works, but they know it's there.
Well, you see, coherence, the actual concept of coherence is about hitting that sweet spot, that balance between your emotions, your spiritual side, your physical side, your emotional self-regulation. When everything is functioning together, you're in coherence, and it's an uplifted state. It's when your emotions are uplifted, not necessarily relaxed, but uplifted. So whether it's gratitude or joy or love, it doesn't have to necessarily just be a low emotion like relaxation or peace. But the idea is that you can attain this state of coherence through many different things. And one of the things I teach is through breath work and a concept called coherence through heart math. But what I figured out after all of this was that each of our senses could produce this coherent state, and hearing is one of them. And I know, as you were saying, I used to travel around with the Grateful Dead in the late 80s and early 90s. And it was my first time really experiencing how listening to specific music can stimulate uplifting and renewing emotions. I mean, all you had to do was be in a crowd of 10 or 15 or 20,000 people. And as the music just soared through the crowd, you could literally feel, just like with your neighbor beside you, you could feel the music and it would uplift you and make you feel incredible. I mean, you'd feel like the world is in a good place. There's no other way to explain it other than you felt like you were in the zone. You know, athletes often describe that they are in the zone when time slows down and your brain is just working on all cylinders and everything just seems right. You know, a lot of times when you suffer with anxiety, the world seems like a hard place and it seems a scary place and everything seems, there's always all this uncertainty and you're always not sure about, you know, this anticipation about what's going to happen. But when you're listening to music that uplifts you, or you're, you know, walking in nature, or you're doing specific things that stimulate your emotion, you can change your physiological state very quickly. And that's exactly what certain music can do for you. And so in the course that we do, one of the weeks we dive into auditory. And what I have in my workbook with the book comes with a workbook when you do the course. What you do is you're doing the self-inquiry, because as you were saying before, it's not the same for everybody. People might be suffering, but we're all a little bit different, and different music might affect me different than you. And the idea with the 6 weeks is that you get to dive in and figure out what music actually works for you. You know, is there music that you can listen to in the morning that makes you feel uplifted and inspired for the day? And is there music you can listen to on the way home that maybe puts you into a more peaceful and relaxed zone at the end of the day? But you can do that with all your senses, not only hearing, right? You can do that with taste and smell and sight and kinesthetic, what you're touching and feeling all day. The idea is that you want to explore each of your senses so you can see what things will stimulate positive emotions and which ones and what things won't, so that you have a toolbox of things that will help you change your emotional state when you want to.
That's really neat. I loved going through the book, looking at all of the different senses and how to go about it, from, like you had mentioned, the kinesthetic, even visual, which I didn't really think about. You know, olfactory, we kind of have that, you know, popularized now with all of the essential oils and things of that nature, but also the digestive component was very interesting to me, in terms of, I would almost put the digestive system in a sensory because of it being the first brain. Can you tell us a little bit more about digestive coherence and how you integrate that into your program?
Well, one of the things that we do is we have people go through, and I'm sure some people have already done these type of elimination diets, where essentially you're figuring out what foods work for you. And so there's 1 week that we have people dive in and start to figure out what foods will elicit certain emotions, because there are some foods that just the taste of them will stimulate an emotion, just the smell of them will stimulate an emotion. And some of them, it's actually the chemical breakdown as you digest it that will help you reach this coherent state. It's as your body will utilize the nutrients. And so there is a difference between things that maybe just by smelling might elicit an emotion, whereas something else you might have to digest, and as your body breaks it down, then you realize, yes, that really does affect my mood. You know, for me, there's certain foods that I eat and it just grounds me. You know, so a lot of times that's a protein. You know, for me, sometimes it's some nuts. You know, I'll feel maybe anxious and I'll realize, blood sugar is out of control. This is not a real anxiety that I'm worried about something. This is an anxiety that's coming because my blood sugar levels are not regulated. And then you have a few nuts and the protein kind of gets rid of that anxiety because now you're more grounded. Whereas if you go and have, you know, maybe a bowl of sugar cereal, you're just going to drive that anxiety through the roof because the sugar just is stimulating more of the adrenal rush. And so for me, it was a matter of figuring out what foods are going to calm and relax and make me feel grounded and which ones are really going to make my anxiety go through the roof. And it's really valuable to know this because then you can actually put together a diet that works for you. You know, I believe in something called an 8-5-3 diet, not for everybody, but a lot of people like that. Because if you look at the way you eat, most people do not have more than 8 dinners, 5 lunches, and 3 breakfasts. You know, even if you're not a regulated person, you look, well, yeah, I usually have that kind of lunch. I usually have that kind of breakfast. I usually have 3, 4, 5 different kinds of dinners. So what I have people do is an 8-5-3 system where they come up with 8 dinners. They've tested each one of those 8 dinners and they make them feel good and they're nutritious for them and they're easy to cook and they know where to buy the food. Because you have to think about all the stressors that come with eating. Yeah. There's costs, there's know-how, right? There's some people that want to eat healthy, but they just don't know how to make food. And so that really affects them. And there's other people that are great cooks, but they don't know where to find the stuff and they can't afford to buy it. So really to make your diet work for you, it has to make your body feel good. It has to be good for your health. It has to be affordable. You have to know where to get it and you have to know how to cook it. So there's all these different aspects to the diet. And so as I have people design this 8-5-3 system, it's really to do a couple of things. One, to ensure that each meal is something that you've already tested and is good for you and you enjoy it. Two, it's that it satisfies all the other things. You know where to buy it. You know how to cook it. You can afford it. And so after you've done your research and you've come up with your 8-5-3 system, well, it's as flexible as you want it to be. You can change it every week, every month, every year. There's some people that will use the exact same meals for years at a time. And there's some people that every 2 months, they really have to change it up. But again, it's not about what's right and what's wrong. It's about what works for you. And so some people say, I don't want to do an 8-5-3 system. It's too regimented. Okay, then what I want you to do is I just want you to write down some lists of foods that will elicit certain emotions. So that if you're in a specific mood and you want to change it, okay, at least you can go to your toolbox and go, oh, I know if I eat this or if I smell this, it's going to calm my body or it's going to uplift me or if it's going to make me feel better. So you can be as regimented or as non-regimented as you want, but it's the knowledge, it's the self-inquiry that once you've done it, then you, at least you know what works for you.
Hmm. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. Now, I think a lot of people might be thinking about this and going, okay, Dr. Mark, what if I really like how, you know, donuts and cookies feel at this moment? How am I going to identify between coherence and incoherence after a while in that department? Any tips for folks that might be thinking about that or like chips and salsa or something of that nature?
Well, if I don't think anybody that would have a predominant diet of chips and soda and all of that stuff, it may feel good in the moment. But if you're doing that, you're either going to be gaining a ton of weight, you're going to have immune system problems, you're going to have blood sugar issues. There's something that's going to come up that's going to go, oh, this is not great for me and I don't feel so good. And, you know, usually there's natural consequences to it. And, you know, a lot of this is you have to be honest with yourself. What are your goals? You know, if someone's goal is to lose weight or be healthy or have a strong immune system or have high energy, well, then those type of diets, they're not going to lead you there. And so really those things will drop by the wayside fairly quickly if you're committed to what you're doing. You know, and for me, it's not about never eating those things because of course I do, but it's about knowing how to respond if I've done that too much or if my body now is rebelling, how do I get back on track? And you see, most people, as I talk about in the book, most people have a destination mindset. In other words, the I'll be happy when I, you know, go to school. I'll be happy when I get my first boyfriend and girlfriend, when I graduate, when I finally go to university, when I get my first car, when I, you know, get married, when I buy my first house. It's always, I'll be happy when, and you're delaying your happiness so that you're never really happy. All of a sudden you're 60 and you're like, yeah, I've been saying I'll be happy when for 60 years. So what I talk about is a process mindset. So you develop a daily process that you can then practice. And so the idea is, if you have a bad week, it's not like you have to get back to any destination. You just have to start your process again. And because that process is designed by you, you're just getting on back on the process that works for you, so that you're starting to design a life that actually works for you. You know, and one of the things that people often talk about is, you know, they do visualizations and they do their vision boards and all of this kind of stuff to see what they want in their life. But it really has to go beyond that. It's really about your emotional state. It's the emotions that really affect the way your body is. So I have people starting to practice their emotional state, because as you and I talked about at the beginning, anxiety can be really tough. And I like to talk about anxiety being like an addiction. Anxiety is very much like an addiction, because your body begins to crave the hormones of stress. And the more that your body produces the hormones of stress, the more your body craves those hormones. And so literally you get rid of one problem and your brain will search for another to be anxious about, simply because it's craving those chemicals. And so the idea is to start practicing the emotions of joy, the emotions of gratitude, the emotions of love, so that your body gets used to creating those chemicals. And as you start to do that, you will find that those emotions become easier to attain. And as those emotions become easier to attain, the life you want to live becomes more familiar to you, and it becomes easier. And now all of a sudden you're starting to live that life. And so some of the old habits, they fall away, simply because you're starting to practice the emotions of the life that you want to live.
That's let's put it this way. That's fascinating, but also something that I think a lot of people aren't really tapped into. I mean, that's why we don't get results, right? It's at the cornerstone of why fad diets and, you know, quick fixes are really not hammering things down for us. It's because we do have to get to the bottom of the emotions, and no one really taught us how to manage these kind of things when they come
up. That's right. And you know, when I was a kid, I didn't talk to my parents. We didn't talk to our friends about emotional self-regulation. Thankfully now it's very well, you know, known. People are talking about it. Kids are not afraid to talk about it. My kids are 16 and 14, and they, there's lots of talk among their peers about stress and anxiety, and, you know, it's becoming much more well known. However, there's still not a lot of proactivity about it. In other words, we talk about good mental health, but what does that really mean? I mean, yes, you can go to a therapist, but a lot of people don't consider themselves that bad. You know, they're not going to seek therapy. But also it takes time and it takes energy, and there's lots of things people can do at home as well as, not instead of, but as well as for mental health. And so all the stuff that I talk about in my course in the book are simple things that you can be doing at home to increase this state of coherence between your brain and your heart. And as you start to learn how to do these things, you can start to control your emotional state.
You have a lot of great examples of all the different things you've worked on over the years for the connecting of the brain and the heart. And I think for a lot of people, that concept of like, wait, my brain and my heart talk, you know, for me, I didn't really get it till I started diving into Chinese medicine and becoming an acupuncturist. Then it kind of hit like, oh, okay, this is really cool. But I think for a lot of people, that subconscious brain and heart communication is tough until someone experiences either AFib or palpitations or PVCs, so irregular heartbeats or some chest pain. I think that's when we really start to see like, oh, these things can be connected, especially after they go through the whole cardiovascular workup and the doc's like, nope, you're fine. Can't figure anything else out. I'm sure you see a lot of people like this.
Absolutely. Lots of it. And most of us, you know, to get your heart and brain in sync, it really just takes practice. And this is where it comes back to HeartMath. HeartMath is a company that gained some notoriety and really started doing a lot of their research back in the early 90s. And what they did is research on how the heart affects the brain. And one of the things that they figured out very early on is that there's far more information going from the heart to the brain than there is from the brain to the heart. And the heart's resonance electrically is about 40 times stronger than the brain's. And magnetically, it's about 100 times stronger than the brain's. And so in any system, the greatest frequency wins. So for instance, if you go into the ocean, the bigger wave takes over the smaller wave. If you went into a clock store, over time, all the clocks end up ticking at the frequency of the biggest clock in the store because it's got the biggest frequency. It entrains everything else. And in the heart, in the body, that's the heart. It's got the biggest frequency. And so when you breathe in, your heart rate goes up. And when you breathe out, your heart rate goes down. The difference is called your heart rate variability. And so let's say you breathe in through your nose and your heart rate goes up to 90. And then you breathe out and your heart rate goes down to 70. 90 minus 70 is 20. So your heart rate variability would be 20. Now, the greater your heart rate variability, the more adaptable you are to life, the more resilient you are. And in fact, the longer you live. There's been mortality studies that show that the greater your HRV, the longer you can actually live. And so if you look at most people, when they breathe, they are chest breathers and they're breathing up. Their lungs are literally being sucked up and they're being compressed. Their HRV is usually between 2 and 5, these little sharp, jagged peaks. That in and of itself can set off a stress response. If I have someone come in and I put a heart sensor on them and I measure their breathing rhythm, if I see this jagged chest breathing, I know this person's anxious right away. You can tell. But when you start to breathe in through the nose, fill up your belly so that your lungs come down and your diaphragm comes down and it opens up your lungs so that you can take more in, it stimulates the relaxation response. And now you're filling your body with more oxygen. And so as you're doing this, you can increase your heart rate variability and you can create what's called a sine wave, a nice smooth rhythm with your breathing. So breathing out in and breathing out and breathing in and breathing out, where the top and the bottom, now your HRV is closer to 20, 15 to 20. And that's how you become more resilient, because as this happens and you start to feel positive emotions, that's the key to what HeartMath has found, is while you're breathing and you're feeling gratitude, love, relief, anything uplifting, you start to get your heart rate into that sine wave. And then what happens is it starts to affect the higher centers of your brain. It affects the centers of the brain that deal with decision-making, pain, immune function, sleep, stress. And so now you're starting to affect the way your brain performs. And that's the state of physiological coherence. And when you enter it, you literally feel it. You can feel this tingling through your body. And when you've got it, you know that you're feeling this uplifted feeling. And so the HeartMath, what they do is they actually have some tools where you can monitor this rhythm. So you could follow your heart rate. And then there's biofeedback that tells you when you're doing it. So for people like myself, who really like the science behind it, you can start to train yourself and know that you're doing it correctly.
I love that. You probably just gave me the best description of heart rate variability out there in using it so simply. And I love it. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this because I've explained it a couple of times, but not as simple as you did. So this is awesome.
You want to make it so that people will get it and that they can practice it, because the other explanation is that each heartbeat is speeding up per second and there's more heartbeats per second. And you're looking at these graphs and by the time you're done, you're like, what's really happening there? So I like to just make it real easy. And really HeartMath has made it easy, because when you're using their technology, you can see your heart rhythm changing. But what is quite obvious with HeartMath, and I'll tell you about my breakthrough, because there's three things that you need to do. You need to be breathing correctly. You need to be visualizing, but you also need to be feeling. And so, my breakthrough came, I'm going to talk probably 2011, 2012. My daughter was maybe 6 or 7 years old. I remember at the time I was sitting on my bed at home and I was anxious and I had the software on and I was doing everything I could to think of, a calm blue ocean, lying on a beach, lying on a cloud, anything that could relax me, but nothing was happening. And really the software was stuck in incoherence. And so with HeartMath, it's counterintuitive. When you start getting frustrated because you're not entering coherence, now you're getting frustrated because the software is not going into coherence. And so you're really working against yourself. And so I remember having to take a break, and I took just a mental step back and I said, pause, what can I be visualizing to make me feel an emotion? And so in the moment, what came to me was my daughter jumping into my arms and giving me a hug. And I visualized her hugging me, but I didn't just visualize it. I felt it. I felt her hands come around me. I felt her kiss on the cheek. I felt her body against mine. I really embodied the hug. And probably less than 30 seconds, the software went to green and made this beep. I felt this chill feeling, chills throughout my body. And I knew that I had just attained physiological coherence. It was the first time I had done it. And I remember thinking at the time, ah, this is what it feels like. It's not just a theoretical concept. It actually exists. And so once I had done it, then I realized, okay, so this is something that I can attain. It doesn't take hours to attain. You can do it in seconds, not, you know, minutes and hours and days. And so since then, you know, I use HeartMath and those techniques, and I teach them because they are very powerful ways to change your physiology literally in the moment. And that's really how all of this started, was me feeling this sense of coherence. And I knew that this is something that people could attain.
That's really awesome. Thank you for explaining that, and how the tingling, you know, how it feels. So I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't really know if I've ever felt coherence. I think probably I venture to say that maybe 9 out of 10 might actually, who are listening, this might even be like, I don't know if I've ever felt coherence. I don't.
Well, they will have when they, if they remember that time where they are literally feeling jubilation, joy, gratitude, they've hit it. Right? Whether it was a birthday celebration and they just felt the love, whether it was they graduated from something and there was that moment of pride where they just felt so proud of themselves. Those moments where the world just seems to be great. Whenever you look around and you go, wow, I'm lucky. Your body is in coherence. It's when you are feeling depleted and down and overwhelmed and stressed out. That's when you get lost and you get separated from this feeling of coherence. And that's when you have to start to reconnect your heart and your brain. But most people have experienced it at some time or another, even if it's just a very fleeting couple of minutes.
I can see that. That's a better description. Because I think a lot of people think that we have to have this like extreme euphoric feeling, you know, all day, every day to be able to experience coherence. At least that's what a lot of folks have kind of.
Well, my attitude is that things either deplete you or renew you. If you look at anything in your life, it's either depleting you or renewing you. And that goes with everything physical, chemical, emotional, spiritual, right? Whether it's the desk that you're sitting at, the chair that's not uncomfortable. By the end of the day, you feel so depleted because you've been sitting. Now you're exhausted and stressed out and you don't want to go, you know, maybe socialize at night because you're too tired. Other people, their diet is depleting them. Other people, it's their job and the stress around it. But things are either depleting you or renewing you. And so the more you can be doing things that renew you, it makes you more resilient. And the more resilient you are, you can handle whatever life has to offer. But as soon as you've let all these things deplete you, you don't have the natural resources to inspire yourself. And so the idea is to find as many aspects of your world that you can add just a little bit more coherence every day, or eliminate some of the depleting things every day. You know, in the book, it's a passing thing I talk about, but I do think it's relevant. You know, I talk about this silly coffee mug that I used to have. And every time I used to take a sip of this coffee mug, it used to dribble down my chin. And I used this coffee mug forever. And one day I just thought, I'm so annoyed. And it probably does that 100 times a day. And I thought, why am I using this thing that I'm annoyed with 100 times a day? Maybe that in and of itself doesn't cause me anxiety, but that mixed with all the other little annoyances that deplete me, now I understand why at the end of the day I was feeling so depleted. So we really do. I go back to what we talked about earlier, which is the self-inquiry. You can look at every aspect of your life and get rid of the things that are depleting you. You know, you might have clothes that you want to fit back into one day, but meanwhile, not only does it not fit you properly, but maybe you even have bad memories in that clothing. Well, get rid of it. You know, the idea is get rid of anything that is depleting you. And if it's people that are depleting you, then spend less time with them. You know, I've had people say, well, what if it's my parents? Well, okay. I don't want you to, you know, disown your parents, but if you feel depleted and anxious, I believe you should be doing something about that, whether it's therapy with them or without them. But also, I don't believe there's anybody on the planet that has the right to, you know, deplete you in any way. And so you don't have to be around anybody. I would just minimize the time I was around the people that deplete me and increase my time around people that renew me. Because, you know, we can change other people, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And if they don't want to change, they're not going to. So better to, you know, work on yourself and just realize what's depleting you and what's renewing you.
I think that's a great place for folks to be thinking right now, just on this podcast and going, okay, what would be my next step, you know, as I'm working into developing coherence for myself. And of course, we want them to go over to coherencerevolution.com, get your book, get on the program. Of course, we want that. But this is a great place for folks to be thinking about it, because even just as something as small as the cup that annoys you, you know, these kind of things add over time. I kind of talk about like little traumas that come into big traumas, but this is much like where I would be looking at it. And very much so in terms of how we move forward in life is getting rid of the things that don't serve us, that deplete us. So huge, so huge. So Dr. Mark, let's tell folks a little bit about your program, where they can find all the information. I know that we have a code here that you gave us, folks. We have if you go to coherencerevolution.com/2022, you have the option to get a download of the ebook. So Dr. Mark's ebook and 50% off his program, which is pretty awesome. But I'd love for him to talk a little bit about the program. So Dr. Mark, tell us a little bit about the program. What are people in for if they jump into it, and how can they work with you a little bit more?
Sure. Well, the course is a 6-week program. We are actually launching tonight. It's February 21st. We're launching tonight, but we are going to be offering it once a month. The next one is actually a Saturday, March 12th, where that's going to be a new start date. So right now we're doing Monday nights, and then we're going to be doing Saturdays, and then we'll probably flip back to Monday nights. I want to give people an opportunity, whether, you know, a weekday or a weekend gives them time. But each week it's going to be an hour and a half Zoom call, and there will be recordings, so if you happen to miss it, you can always watch it the next day or just watch it again. But what's really unique about it is the breakout rooms that we end up doing. Each week, we're going to be learning the breathwork techniques, how to use your breath and how to use your visualization to change your physiology. And then we're going to jump into either one of our senses or nature, or we're going to discuss subconscious beliefs and go through all the different techniques, some therapies or treatments that I had tried, some programs and books, and we're going to discuss all of that. And so each week we're going to dive into something a little new. One of the weeks we're going to wrap up the senses by listening to music and doing some finger painting. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We have different breakout rooms so that people can identify how it feels to either speak to people in a certain way or have them speak to in a certain way, finding out how it feels to have words said to you, whether they're negative or positive. We're going to discover our subconscious beliefs and do a form of muscle testing. So each week we're going to add a little something new. And then by the end of it, the last thing you're going to do is create what I call a daily time schedule, where you're going to design the life that you want to design from the second you get up to the second you go to bed. You put in everything from your chores and all the work and sleep, but also all the things that you want to do to inspire yourself, whether it's social time or reading or date night. Everything you want in your schedule, you're going to put it in. And then you're going to take the extra step and you're going to determine what are the emotions that you want to feel during those times of the day. Because the emotion you feel in the morning is going to be different than at work, different than in the afternoon, and different than in the evening. And so I want you to start to discover what type of emotions that you want to feel. And then you can start to practice them using all the tools that we'll talk about. And the idea is that you're going to start to live and practice your ideal dream life so that it becomes more familiar to you and you start to realize, wow, I'm actually living the life that I've always wanted to live because I'm able to produce those emotional responses. And so it's really a lot of fun. You know, we don't call it work, we call it home play, because we want people to have fun with this, a little bit childlike, a little curiosity. But if you really want to change your life and you're not happy with the status quo, you think there's more, you think you can do better for yourself, you think you can have, you know, a more happy, grateful, genuine in life, then this is for you. And, you know, it might take you out of your comfort zone a little bit, but it'll be a fun course to do for 6 weeks.
I love that. So while you're talking, I was thinking, okay, can families sign up together? Can couples sign up together? How does that work?
Well, you know, if you're in the same house at this point, because it's one computer, you can certainly do it with anybody you want in your house. Only one of you would sign up and, you know, be the member, but certainly you can do it with everybody in your house, and you can do the painting and you can do the exercises and all of that. But yes, we do encourage you to take it with someone. And, you know, we do have a 50% off code going on right now. So if you do have friends or family and you want to do it with them, you can share that with them. But if they're in the same house with you, the more the merrier. You know, everybody can show up on the Zoom call and be a part of this and really join the community, because, you know, as we'll talk about a lot more in the course, as you gain coherence in yourself, you're actually spreading that to others, and the ability of your coherence to affect people around you, they can measure that. And you can see that other people will start to go into coherence as you do. And then as you and your community start to grow, now you start to affect the planet. And so the idea is that we're all working together to change the way our world works.
Oh, I love that. Yes, we do need that. We need to raise that energetic vibe we've got going on here for sure. And being able to be a part of that and have a more of a global type of community, I think that is an excellent mission. Love it. Dr. Mark, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me about coherence. I hope folks have learned a little bit more about it. And guys, if you are interested, head over to coherencerevolution.com/2022. Get your ebook and hey, 50% off, you know, I can't beat that. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Hey there. I hope you really enjoyed my podcast with Dr. Mark Halpern. I have to tell you, out of every single thing that I have worked with in terms of herbs, in terms of different supplements, things of that nature, other programs to help with anxiety and chronic illness for that matter, I have found that coherence really does make a huge impact. And I want folks to be thinking about their brain and their thoughts as being their new herbs, their new medicine, because really, truly at the root of all of chronic mental illness, chronic illness is a link to thought process. So I'm going to leave you with that. Change your thoughts, change your life. Think about it. Okay, folks, till the next time. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey, fellow health junkie, thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.